It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm Tracy Peterson, your host. It's that time of year again when we prepare for another fire season. The dry conditions in the Motherlode could create a busy season, and that is why preparing is so important. And to give us details on that, our guests are Dory Beetz with the Tuolumne County Office of Emergency Services, Chief Nick Cashy with Tuolumne Calaveras Unit of CAL FIRE. He's the unit chief and the Tuolumne County Fire Chief, and Dave Vasquez, he's captain with Tuolumne County Sheriff's Office. And good morning, everyone, and thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Well, let's get right. Good morning, and let's get started. The state continues to be in a drought condition. In fact, this year was the third driest year on record, with the final snowpack this year at just 38% of average. The recent storms did help a little bit, but not nearly enough to make up the difference, as we all know. So what will we be facing this year, Chief Cashy?
Yeah, so I'll touch a little bit on that in regards to the rain totals that we've received so far for the rain year. So if we think of a rain year, the time in which precipitation is measured, it's from October 1st through September 30th. So it crosses two different calendar years. Currently, before this last storm, up until April 14th, we were at about 13.67 inches in the lower elevations. And in the mid elevations to the high elevations, we were upwards of 22.04 inches of rain. And again, that was before this last storm. So with that, we've seen some green up in the grass, and we've seen some recovery in the fuel moisture sampling that we've done to see how much moisture the fuel is taking on, fuel being like the brush component in the chemise and manzanita. That number gives us a good indication of its availability to burn. And so right now we're currently doing okay for the springtime, but with that drought conditions we've been facing, we're looking at that to be probably ahead of normal on the availability going into summer for those fuels to be cured and then available to burn should we get the fire starts that we have in the past. So with that, you know, we're trying to make sure that we have good situational awareness with our residents that we are in, you know, drought conditions and have been now for several years. Having an awareness to our actions when we're out and about that could cause fires, and awareness to that so that hopefully we don't. And then with that, also preparing on the response side with the response personnel at our fire stations, our air bases, and our fire camps.
And if you had to say a scale of 1 to 10, where are we sitting? Would you judge this fire season in, I guess, strength of how bad it could be?
Sure. I think, you know, living in the foothills of California now, every fire season, so to speak, or the months that are conducive to burning, they pose a significant threat to us, especially with our increased population density in the rural areas. And so it's really, you know, if we look at it in totality, we take into the factors, again, the precipitation, the availability of the fuels, and the components of having an increased population. It's hard to put an exact number because it all relates to how many fire starts we get. But I would say that in this summer, the conditions that we're being presented with, should we get the starts, it has the potential to be a very busy fire season, much similar to the last couple of years.
And what are some of the important reminders as we head into this season, would you say, Chief Cashy?
So as we get into the summer months and it starts getting hotter and drier, we will go into permits required for debris burning on May 1st, outline the public resource code. And so anybody that chooses to continue to work through and do their defensible space cleanup and using debris burning as a tool to do so, it's really important that we pay attention and follow the terms and conditions of that permit so that we can do it in a safe manner. In addition to that, when it comes to the Ready, Set, Go terminology, which can be found at the CAL FIRE website of readyforwildfire.org, it gives us a good outline of the things we can do for home hardening, defensible space, having a go bag for, you know, a certain amount of days should an evacuation take place, and having everything in line so that in the event that your home or that you are threatened by a wildfire, you can safely mitigate what you need to and get out safely with the appropriate things to sustain you for a certain amount of time. All these things are done in preparedness prior to when the emergency happens. And so as we get into the summer months, now hopefully folks that are listening to this, it may prompt them to maybe educate or refresh on exactly those types of things. And in addition to that, one thing I know I'm advocating with the Sheriff's Department as well as Tuolumne County OES is an awareness to the main thoroughfares and evacuation routes should they be asked to leave their home if there was a wildfire threat.
Sure, sure. And in terms of the defensible space, can you refresh the listener as to what that means, defensible space around your home?
Defensible space around your home is referencing the Public Resource Code 4291, and it's the parameters for which the decreased vegetation and reduced vegetation in and around a structure provides the best defense to an approaching fire by removing the fuels. There's a decreased fuel zone from the structure upwards of 30 feet, and then out past that, it's a reduced fuel zone that removes the continuity that should a wildfire, an unwanted fire start, it gives your residents better protection from that oncoming fire by not having a heavy fuel loading or having things that could combust right next to the structure. And really good visual pamphlets and brochures and things that are available to kind of demonstrate that for your listeners would be, again, at the readyforwildfire.org website. And it shows exactly what you can do to make your home fire safe.
And Dory, I wanted to switch to you right here because when I do my weekly series On the Street and ask questions, and one of the things, of course, we ask about is, have you done your defensible space yet? And we get a mixture of things. And one of the things I've noticed, too, is from older people saying they can't do it. They physically can't do it, and they can't hire anyone. They don't have the money to do that. They're on a fixed income. What help can they get?
Well, one of the things that, depending on your neighbors and your community, is if your neighborhood has a FireWise program. And FireWise, you can find information, and we have a Tuolumne County FireWise program that really is supporting neighbors, helping neighbors, basically, with that defensible space. So that's one avenue, is working with your neighbors and finding out whether or not they can help you. Tuolumne County, of course, is always looking for funding to help those individuals that cannot do that work on their own, or for whatever means cannot afford to do so. We continue to do that. While we do not have a program currently right now, we are looking into that to provide to those individuals. So we really try to encourage neighbors helping each other. And then as we get some funding available, we will make that available to the community for those individuals to do that type of work.
And now with the Washington fire last year right in our backyard and people having to evacuate, I was hoping that Captain Vasquez, you could give us details of when you guys are knocking on their doors and telling people that they have to leave. What do people need to do? How do they prepare? And give us the different types of evacuations and what they mean, please.
Thank you. Yes, Washington fire, I'm glad that we're using this as an example as being one of our most recent emergencies that we've had to respond to. I'd like to first say that the biggest priority in our most precious tool that we have is the partnerships with the community and preparing the community, not just for the day when one of these incidences happen, but even prior to. You heard the chief talk about having a plan and making sure that you're ready to go before the day of the event. Washington Fire tested every facet that we know about emergency response. It has caused an increased awareness to how we staff. You heard a little bit about the chief talking about the summer months coming in and how the population fluctuates as well. We are very mindful of that and what it does to the incidences and calls for service and the service that the community demands. Going into this summer, full disclosure, we are at that minimum staffing. And so what we are doing is strategizing as to if we had another Washington fire, what would that look like? The first action in that plan is getting consistency in the language, making sure that people understand what it is that we're communicating to them. A big help for that was that in 2020, California Office of Emergency Services put out standardized statewide evacuation terminology that we have adopted in the Sheriff's Office. And I will cover that language now, if that's okay. I will also leave a copy and a link where people can find this information and refresh themselves also.
Okay, and what we're going to have to do, we're going to have to cover that in the next segment because we've got to take a break right now. And we'll return with more Motherlode Views following a word from our community-minded sponsor, Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. We'll be right back.